Brilliant. Okay, so look, what we thought we'd do, we asked John to say a bit about who he is, where he is, what he's doing, principally so that we can pray for him and the family, but also just enable us to get to know each other well as a cohort. I think it's critical for us in our church planting to have people who we feel we're running with, people who we're in the trenches with. We may be in different parts of the battlefield, but the more we know about our brothers in Christ is a good thing. So, John, thank you for doing this. Why don't you begin just by saying a little bit about who you are and what you bring, who you bring with you.
Okay, hi guys. Thanks for this opportunity just to share a little bit about myself and what I've been up to. So my name's John Morrison. I was actually born in England. I grew up in Surrey, in Camberley in Surrey, and I ended up emigrating at 16 to Johannesburg, which is horrible, by the way. Don't go there. Spent a lot of time traveling while I was younger and ended up in Cape Town, and I'm married to Lee. We've been married 18 years, coming up 19 years, and we've got two children, Aaron, who's 21, and Kai, who's 17. So we're in that like later stage of life.
Did you say Kai?
Aaron and Kai, yeah.
So two boys.
Two boys.
How old's Aaron? Sorry?
21.
21. No way. You don't look old enough.
I'm old enough. Trust me. Yeah, I came to the Lord at 39 years old and ended up coming to St. Peter's, where I'm now serving. And Murray Anderson, who was part of Dundonald, actually discipled me for a couple of years before I got plugged into the kind of what was then the apprentice kind of thing, the kind of thing you guys do there. He took me under his wing for 2 years, trained me up, sent me off to college, and I've now been in the mission pastor role coming up 5 years at St. Peter's full time.
So when did you first come to St. Peter's? What year was that?
2010.
Yeah. And was that work that had taken you to...
Say again?
That work that had taken you to Cape Town?
No, actually a girl, the one I married. I met her on a holiday and fell in love, and so I came to Cape Town and never left.
And in amongst that, at what point did the Lord bring you to himself?
Yeah, it was a very dramatic conversion. I didn't know any Christians. I'd been to church, but just to please my mother. I went to Christmas. You know, she's in the UK, so when I visited, I'd go to church with her on Christmas Eve. And just now and again, I guess I'd find myself in a church for a funeral or a wedding. But yeah, it was a really quite a radical time in my life where I was earning lots of money. I was partying hard. I was doing lots of drugs. I was drinking like a fish. And my wife and I ended up splitting up because of my behavior. And it was then actually she came to the Lord unbeknown to me, and 11 months later I came to the Lord, and I'm happy to say we are still married and still soldiering on as a Christian couple. It's not always easy because there's obviously repercussions for living a past outside of Christ, which catches up with you every now and again, but it's been an amazing journey. And at college, actually, the church in Muizenberg that was run from the college premises closed down. And I remember thinking, I want to run that church, but it literally died. It went closed down and is no more. But since then, that was 2017, planting a church in Muizenberg, which is where I now live, has really been my heartbeat. And that's just increased. So in 2019, I started working on a plant. A presentation for our council. I did some basic research in the community and then started to put things together. And only in the last 6 or 7 months has this unfolded to actually you know, action points are being taken now, and it's moving pretty quickly, but yeah, it's still too slow for me.
Tell us a bit about Muizenberg so that we can get a flavor of the place.
Yeah, so Muizenberg is on the tip of what we call the Deep South. There's the peninsula where you've got the Atlantic Ocean on the one side and the Indian Ocean on the other side. It's very diverse community. So it's about 15 square kilometers. There's roughly 70,000 people living in the community. And there's everything from very wealthy people up on the mountainside to very impoverished community in the lower lying areas. And then you've got the beachfront hub, which is literally, there's probably 150 restaurants, shops, surf lesson places. It's a great area for congregation and a lot of water sports. So you've got a lot of surfing, kite surfing, canoeing. There's a beautiful estuary. So you've got lots of water sports in the estuary area, which is close to where I live. There's a big high school. There's two primary schools. And there's kind of lots of other little areas. Like there's a little village, a very bohemian type village where there's lots of new age people. And then you've got a very new developed area, which probably over the last 10 years now houses close to 25,000 people.
Wow. The two primary schools for 70,000 people, that doesn't sound massive. Is that reflective of the age profile?
Yeah, and also the fact that it's grown so quickly in the area. And you'll find because there's lots of adjoining areas, there are other schools in, you know, very close. I'm talking like 5, 6, 7 kilometers away. You probably got in the region of 20 primary schools and at least 15 high schools. So people commute out of Muizenberg, but there's a very strange kind of cultural identity that I've identified in the Muizenberg community. If you're from Muizenberg, you want to walk everywhere. You kind of want to eat there, you kind of want to do your shopping there. So that's what you find is people in Muizenberg don't actually travel out a lot, but lots of people travel in.
And do the guys who live there resent the fact that people travel in? Or is that just...
No, it's actually what makes the place work.
Yeah, interesting. And tell us a little bit about, the spiritual setup there, but more perhaps, especially just church-wise, how well is it served with the gospel?
Yeah, so we reckon out of that 70,000 people, at a push, 5% are in Bible-believing churches. I did a really interesting thing recently. I contacted every rector or pastor that I could find in the area to meet with them. Some of them met with me, some didn't, and that's okay. But what I found quite interesting was the biggest church there is probably about 1,500 people, and they are doing no outreach whatsoever into the community. And that is the same for nearly every church. There's a few that do one or two annual church fates or kind of old school church events. But no one's actually actively engaging with the community. And I found that was my thinking. And I've now started a survey and that's becoming apparent that is the case. Many people on the survey suggested churches need to be more involved in the community than they are. So that was really helpful. I think out of the churches there, and there's probably 12 that I know of, with the exception of the informal area, where there's probably 60 churches because every second house is a church. There's probably two Bible teaching churches that I would comfortably go to. One of them's 50 people because they're a fairly new plant, and the other's about 70 people. It's 10 years old. I met with that pastor. He told me they've never even broken even in terms of making it financially sustainable. They've got one Bible study after 10 years of about 12 people. And the main reason is because including the pastor, no one is from Muesenberg. They all commute in.
Wow.
Run their Sunday service.
Yeah.
And that actually was another telling sign. Very few of the pastors that are running churches in Muesenberg live in Muesenberg. So they're out of touch with the community.
Mm-hmm. And so what are your plans as they stand at the moment? What would you like to do? What are you hoping to do?
Well, in June, my wife and I went for broke and we purchased a house in Muesenberg. Two reasons for that purchase. One was because the interest rate in South Africa is the lowest it's been in about 40 years. So we thought, let's just go for it. And the second reason was there was a massive lounge dining area where we could fit about 40, 45 people.
Wow.
So we just went for it. We just decided, let's just buy this place. It will be good for ministry. Will be good for Bible studies. And so we've been meeting there with a fellowship group since August. We've got about 15 people in that fellowship group. And they're made up of St. Peter's Church, where I'm currently serving as the mission pastor, and Takai Community Church, which is a sister church about 14 kilometers away from where we are. Kind of they're here. St. Peter's is here, Muesenberg's in the middle. So we've drawn people from that church too, and we've drawn a few people from the community that weren't involved in a church. So we've got a real mishmash of people. Out of the 15 regulars, I would say 10 to 11 of those people are leadership material. That is, they've been involved in church plants. They've already been serving in some capacity in either St. Peter's or Takai Community Church. And they're just sold out for what we're doing. So that, to me, is really encouraging. I mean, the one guy is the business manager for George Whitfield College, which is our theological institution. So he's like a wealth of knowledge on his own.
Yeah, there's your administrator right there.
Exactly.
And what are St. Peter's? What's their undertaking? Is there a timeline? Is there a commitment? Are they saying you have this much money, this many people, but you've got to be self-sustaining after 3 years? Is that all up in the air at the moment?
No, not at all. Actually, it's been quite amazing. Look, it was never on the plans of St. Peter's to plant a church in Muesenberg. St. Peter's strategy at the moment is looking at under-resourced and undeveloped communities. We've already planted a church into what we would call in South Africa a township, which is informal dwellings, sort of like corrugated iron structures. And in that community, there's about 100,000 people. So we've planted a church to reach that community. And then in Ocean View, which is also quite a poorer community, I've recently started a Bible study in that community, and we hope that will eventually turn into a plant. So Muesenberg is a fairly affluent suburb, if you like, although there are some poorer communities within it, but it was never on the cards to plant there. But graciously, the council here have agreed to allow me to do some research. They've set aside one day a week for me to actually do that research. And they've committed to paying my salary if the plant goes ahead to get things established. And the way that will look is there'd be a kind of a transition where I'm running certain functions at St. Peter's as well as getting Muesenberg up and running. So I don't quite know what that looks like. Going forward, though, I'm just hitting play. Because over the last few weeks, we've secured a venue for a Christmas carols event. I'm hoping to draw about 300 members of the community into a carol service. A local jazz band are going to do a couple of songs. Father Christmas is going to arrive on a motorbike. So I've got a few crazy things planned for that. We're currently in the midst of doing an in-person survey. We've completed just under 100 so far. We went out a couple of Saturdays ago and we asked people, it's a 15-point survey, just trying to find out about the community. But there's some quite telling evidence that's coming from that. I've now put it online onto a community Facebook page which reaches about 11,500 people. We have got a summer series planned, hopefully in a local coffee shop or in the venue that's just seems to have appeared from nowhere by God's grace. I've recently put together a kind of a sublease request, if you like, from an organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. It's a Christian organization that they run their biblical studies course from this lecture room. But there's like a little office and a counseling room and a bathrooms and a bit of parking. So it could actually work quite nicely for a launch place. But it's also something we can start growing our fellowship group in. You could probably take 70 people comfortably. So yeah, there's lots happening at the moment. I feel pretty tired because I've also got the portfolio at St. Peter's, which is now we've, like you, come out of lockdown. We've got, 6 different things running from now until Christmas. And that all falls onto me. So that's 6 different events. And then from January to Easter, there's another 8 events to get together. And these aren't, some of them are surveys. Some of them are the Life Series, which is like Evangelism Explored type thing. I'll be running that in Musenberg. I'll be running that in St. Peter's, and we hope to run that in Ocean View as well. That's all next year. So I'm gonna need some rest before January kicks off.
For sure. And look, I've got loads more questions, but I think I want to encourage and provide opportunity for others to ask you 1 or 2 questions before you pray for you. So guys, over to you. What do you want to ask John?
John, thanks for sharing. That was brilliant. It was really encouraging to hear. My question to you is on your decision to move. You might have said if you did, I apologize, but how far away were you before? And what went on, if you could share just a bit more of your thinking about moving into the area. I think it's brilliant. I agree 100%, but would just be curious to hear your thought process on that.
Yeah, so... So I lived about 13 kilometers away from where I moved to in Musenberg. And St. Peter's Church is exactly the same distance from where I used to live to where I now live. It's a different route. Cape Town's surrounded by mountain ranges. And so my thinking was this, is I think I knew the Musenberg community. But the more and more I started to do research, the more I realized I actually didn't know that community well at all. And what I did is I did about 4 or 5 walking tours around the sort of village area, the mountain area. There's about 6 different locations, if you like, in Musenberg. And they're all centered around either the mountain, the beach, or the Flay, which is kind of our estuary. And so I thought the only way to really get to know the community is to move there. And my idea was when we planted, we would actually move. But in the process, we started to look for church venues and we stumbled across this house that we thought would be perfect. So we just went for it. We prayed about it. And the thinking was to plant and then move. And the Lord laid it on my heart, just move first. So I just did it. I don't actually know if we really reasoned it properly through, but my wife is so supportive. She just said, look, I think this is a great opportunity. We want to own a house anyway, because we were renting where we were before. So we just went for it. And yeah, we haven't looked back. It's been actually amazing. It's not only amazing for ministry, it's amazing to get to know the community just by being introduced to neighbors. We walk our dogs along the estuary every day. So we've met probably 20, 25 families over the last few months.
Do you have my real quick question? Have St. Peter's promised people?
No, but I've poached some anyway. It wasn't really like that. It was, so obviously being in ministry at St. Peter's, I've made contacts with quite a lot of like evangelistic type people, because when I run quite a few workshops, and the same sort of people come along. We go out into the community, we do surveys, we film people, we do lots of crazy things. And I suppose these people want to see a plant. They're passionate about gospel ministry. Two of the couples are actually from the States, and they're missionaries, so that's their heartbeat. Some have just come to me and said, hey, we heard you're planting a church in Musenberg. We want to be part of it. By God's grace, Murray and the council have said to me, absolutely, if people want to get involved, let them get involved. So they're 100% supportive of that. I then went to Tekai Community Church, spoke to the rector there, and he said, I support your idea 100%. I'm going to send you people. And so he sent people. So that's kind of how we've got our core together.
Yeah, fabulous. Unless there are any other questions, I think you've given us some things to pray for. Christmas carol event, survey on the streets, the summer series, and your weariness and work portfolio. But are there other obvious things we can pray for you?
Yeah, I think I'd really like to be really thoughtful about how we interact with the community, and not just me, but our core team. And so that means I need to spend time with them. You know, I've been working on this for years, so it's kind of all in my head. I need to get it out of my head and cast a vision. And the other day, for example, we did a vision. I did a little vision casting thing for the next 6 months. And I just simply asked people, I put a whiteboard up. I said, let's think about our Christian and non-Christian contacts who we could invite to the carol service and the summer series. We got 52 names, which was incredible. When we came back from that survey, we had 120 names in total. And that's after one day. So what that showed me is we need to work much harder at thinking about our contacts and how to glean our contacts and grow our contacts. And I need to spend more time with that core team to show them that it's part of something bigger. We're not just getting contacts for the sake of getting contacts. We're trying to grow God's kingdom here. And so I need to spend time with them and actually flesh that out. So that's the one thing. The second thing is patience for me. I'm a pretty impatient guy. In my spare time, I ride enduro motorbikes. And so I like speed. I like to do things fast. And this has been quite a challenge for me. And praise God for people like Murray, who are just, you know, continually saying, slow down. It's okay. Let God's timing unfold. So that has been quite a challenge for me, but it's been a good challenge. And I think it's better because of that. So just pray that I keep that patience mindset.
Thank you. That's very honest. Brilliant. Why don't we, guys online, and we'll sort that out into chat rooms, but why don't we pray for the guys around us. John, thank you.